The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 5. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for it's trustworthy and true. Bless us as we ponder it in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Who is a child of God? It's a very important question, because I've heard some people say, oh, all people are children of God. Well, some may think it is everyone on the planet, but every human being is, of course, a child of Adam and Eve. You know, we share a common humanity, but we are all not children of God, according to the Bible. Simply being human does not mean that we are children of God. Of course, you have to be human to be a child of God, but everyone isn't. John makes it clear what is needed to be a child of God in 1 John chapter 3. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." God, in his love, that is the requirement as well. God's love. We know that God loves the world very much, don't we? We, of course, know John 3:16. The first part of that is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." God so loved the world, but all in the world are not called children of God. God the Father's love is very, very great. So great that he can wipe out all the sins in the entire world of all the people in all times and all places. He has that kind of power. A love and a sacrifice so great through his Son that it covers all people in all times and places. That is a great love. This is the reality. Believers in Jesus are called children of God. But more than that, John wrote, "And this is what we are." We're called this. He said, "And this is what we are." We are not just called children of God, but we are children of God, those who have Jesus. Being human and loved by God is needed. But is that love that is given by God received, or is it rejected? The other half of John 3:16 is that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Those who receive him, they are the ones who are called children of God. Do you ever feel or think to yourself after you have sinned, "I'm not a child of God. I'm terrible, I'm rotten," or something like that. "Otherwise, I wouldn't have sinned like that." Do not believe the lies of Satan. Sin needs to be confessed, true. But we must remember who we are in Jesus. We are a child of God by grace through faith in Jesus. Now listen closely to this. It's not our sinless life that determines being a child of God, right? It is the Father's love lavished on us in Jesus that determines our being a child of God. Because of God's grace through faith in Jesus, we are, right now, children of God. It's not something that will happen in the future or one day. It's something that is reality now. Now, this is probably no major discovery for us, but we've heard this before, but being a child of God is a present reality that we can easily skip over. We are of great value to God. Why do I emphasize this? You know, right after John gets done saying, we are a child of God, right away he says this: the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That's the reason why people are not, everyone's not a child of God, because they don't know him. They don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Why not? Why didn't they know him? Because they did not receive his love. They rejected it. I'm listening through a book right now by Martin Luther, and it's called Bondage of the Will. And it was written later on after 1517 and so on, but what's really sharp about it is this one main theme is you have done nothing to save yourself. It's a continual reminder. He's arguing against a man named Erasmus, from whom we get much of the Greek New Testament today. But he's arguing with him, saying, no. Erasmus is saying, no, we have free will. We can choose to be saved and so on like this. But when it comes down to it, it's really rejection of the grace of God, which prevents us from being a child of God. Rejecting it. Saying no to it. They did not receive his love. That's what John said in the gospel. His own did not receive him. You know, incidentally, the gospel of John, you know, this is often the thing that people get confused on, or they hear something wrong, or they might see one John, when it means first John, but it's not the first chapter of John, but it's first John. You've got the gospel of John, and you have first and second, third John. And they actually is very strong evidence to show that they were written by the same person in terms of how they used words and their order and so on. It's pretty neat. That's just a little FYI. So, hear these verses from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. He, that is Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of a natural descent, nor a human decision or a human's will, a husband's will, but born of God. So why didn't or doesn't the world know Jesus? It's because it did not receive him, it did not believe him. Therefore, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we have received him, and we are called children of God, and not only are we called it, but that is what we are. Since the world does not know Jesus, how will the world treat you? We know. I'm surprised sometimes by people's reactions when they may stand for the faith and they get squashed or they get rejected right away. It's no surprise, though, because according to the Word of God, we should not expect any recognition from the world. We should not expect any honor from the world. We should not expect the world to agree with us. It's going to disagree with us. Most likely, it's going to reject us. There are no benefits in the world because we're a child of God. People of the world cannot understand you. You are a mystery to them. You are a fool to them because they don't know Jesus. That's why. Now let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. You could go spend a long time in that gospel, just that chapter alone. But we're just going to deal with a tiny portion of it. In these nine verses, Jesus starts each verse out with the words, of course, blessed. He says, blessed are. The word blessed means fortunate or happy. Usually, it's a privileged recipient of divine favor. All right? That's what blessed is, a person who has received divine favor. Blessed are. That's the reality. That's the fact. It doesn't say blessed will be, or possibly, but it says blessed are. We have only time to look at a few verses, like I said, but the focus is on this, that they are blessed now. Just like as they are children of God, they are blessed now. It doesn't say that they will be blessed in the future, though, of course, having faith, they will be. So verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are who? This is a really interesting thing. Another gospel leaves out in spirit, but who are the poor in spirit? They are people who know that they are spiritually bankrupt. All right? They know that they lack. They know that they need God. They know their own sin. These are people who are spiritually poor, the poor in spirit. Now, the 19th century London preacher sensation Charles Spurgeon had this to say about this verse. He said, "Not what I have, but what I have not is the first point of contact between my soul and God." When a person realizes they need God. Okay, again, I'll read that again. He said, "Not what I have, but what I have not is the first point of contact between my soul and God." The poor in spirit know that they are not pure. The poor in spirit know that they are not holy. The poor in spirit know that they are not righteous. The poor in spirit is to know that we don't have what we should when we come before Almighty God. Sin and pride can cause people to think that they are, they can come before God, you know, as they are, without changing. They don't see any need for God, or they may think that they can come to God or on their own terms, like Adam and Eve. And on the way here, I heard Rabbi Zacharias just mention briefly on the radio, you know, that Adam and Eve tried to come with their own authority before God. A spiritually poor person realizes that they, like I said, were bankrupt. They don't have what they need. They have no authority before God. So, it's like the verses from John. The differences between the world and the children of God was simply receiving Jesus. That was the difference. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Note the present tense, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is. It's already theirs. It is now. And it's almost like the rest of these Beatitudes all come from that part right there. From it flows out of the poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And he says all the rest of the things that flow like out of that. It's almost like the Ten Commandments. The first commandment, if that's kept perfectly, you know, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, your neighbor yourself, and like Jesus summarized it, if we can keep that, wow, that'd be pretty impressive. We keep all the rest of them. But we don't keep that perfectly. One flows out of the other. I like this summary from one commentator named Guzik. He said this about, kind of like summarizing the whole first, all those Beatitudes together. He said, "The call to the poor in spirit is placed first for a reason, because it puts the following commands into perspective. They cannot be fulfilled by one's own strength, but only by a beggar's reliance on God's power. No one mourns until they are poor in spirit." He's not speaking about physically mourning the grief of something, but mourning your own being poor in spirit. "No one is meek towards others until he has a humble view of himself. If you don't sense your own need and poverty, you will never hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if you have too high a view of yourself, you will find it difficult to be merciful to others." This is how we are to live as Christians. We are to remember that God has first lavished his love on us. And we are moved by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive what we need, his love, his forgiveness. Having his love means that we are children of God right now. It doesn't mean we will be, but we are. And we need to remember this, especially when faced with temptation or whatever may come our way, we are so loved by God. So loved. It's almost like I want to say, is this going to help if I say, I am loved by God? Yeah, we are. Do we say that much? Remember that when the world or our own sin gets us discouraged, we are to be reminded that we're children of God, that we belong to Him. We are children of God because we received that great love. We have believed. We realize that we are poor in spirit and that the only thing that really makes us different from the world is that belief. So it leaves no room for us to have pride over other people or think we're better or judge other people. It reminds us that we are children of God because of His great love for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for that great love that You pour out upon us through Your Son, Jesus. That undeserved, that unmerited love You so freely give that makes us Yours. Help us never to forget this, God. Help us always to believe it, that You love us so very, very much. And we thank You for that, God. All by Your grace, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.